Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Hope for all the world. Hope for you. Don't fall into the trap of saying this message is for some people, but not you. You're excluded. No, you're not excluded. Doesn't matter where you're from, because central to Christmas, central to the Christian message, is a message of a new beginning, a message of hope.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Christmas or not, these are difficult times, and many people are struggling. Perhaps you're finding it hard to celebrate or asking, what's the point? On this episode of The Verdict, we're discussing why Christmas makes such a difference and why Christmas offers real hope for those experiencing troubled times. Now, to introduce his message, titled Hope for All the World, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining me as we approach Christmas Day. With the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate that our Savior has come. Jesus brings light to our darkness, a message of hope to our troubled world. Yes, followers of Jesus are people of light and of hope. I love this word, hope, as it looks to the future. In the midst of these uncertain times, there is hope, a sure and certain promise of new life and a glorious future. In Christmas, we find the brilliant good news of the gospel and the love, joy, and peace that is ours in Christ. May you experience and celebrate this life-changing message from heaven to earth, a message of hope for all the world.
The great Russian novelist Dostoevsky said, "Totally without hope, we cannot live." To live without hope is to cease to live. Hell is hopelessness. It is no accident that above the entrance to Dante's hell is the inscription, "Leave behind all hope, you who enter there." That is, I think we recognize that without hope, we plunge into futility, into despondency and utter despair. And so we hear with almost constant frequency that someone else has taken their life. Some people find life so hopeless, so pointless, so difficult that they take their own lives. Others do not take their lives but are plunged into deep, deep despair and depression. But it is at this very point, at this very difficult situation that we face in our world, in our lives, in our nation, that the message of Christmas shines the brightest. Because the message of Christmas is one of hope. Hope for all the world. And whatever your political situation, whatever your view is of our city, of our nation, of the world, whatever your background, whatever personal difficulties you have experienced, or whatever the nature of your upbringing, some of whom here come from terrible backgrounds, whatever the situation, I want to say to you very, very strongly, very authoritatively, based on the Word of God, that for you, yes, you, there is hope. In Jesus Christ, there is hope. There is change. There's a radical and profound difference can be made in your life if you know Christ as your personal Savior. Hope for all the world. This is not a glib statement by some politician who wants your votes. This is a message from heaven to earth, a message from God who is alive, who knows you, and who is speaking to you, because central to Christmas, central to the Christian message, is a message of a new beginning, a message of hope, a message that there can be a change, that the future is different, that there is a better world, that there is a better way of living, and that there is a wonderful future to all who place their faith in Jesus Christ. And as I read the familiar verses, which I know are familiar to many of you, will you hear them afresh and will you take them very personally? They were first given to shepherds, but they come with all of the power of God and His Holy Spirit to your heart and to mine. Here is Luke as he records it in what we know as Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." Do you hear that? "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." I love that. This message is not just to shepherds. It's not just to some elite. It's not just to some nationality. It's not just to some people. This message coming from God to earth is a message for all people. For unto you, here it is. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Talking of Jesus, of course. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so this message on this first Christmas, as it came to the shepherds, and as it comes in the grace of God to you and me this Christmas Eve, is one of hope. God is saying to you this Christmas Eve, whoever you are, fear not. I know it's easy to fear the future. Some problem looming over you, I by no means would minimize the problems of your life. And we have to acknowledge that left to ourselves, we are in a hopeless situation. There may be no human remedy for your situation. You may have thought about it and you realize there is no way out. But here is the message from heaven to earth. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior who is Christ the Lord. This was a message given 2,000 years ago. You believe this? A message which has come to people down through the centuries. And this message, when it first was given to a world of darkness, a world of gloom. What was the political situation in Israel at the time? They were under the heel of Rome. They were occupied by the great superpower of the day, the Romans, with all of their might, with all of their laws, with all of their army, with all of their administrative skill. Little Israel was no match for the power of Rome, and it seemed that there was no way out for them. No light, no hope for Israel. And we feel like that sometimes, don't we? You ever been in a situation like that? I have. Now, the circumstances around you seem out of control, that there is nothing seemingly that you can do. You're in a hopeless situation, and God is silent. God seems not to be speaking to you. Ah, but now the light of God is shining into our dark world. Here is hope. Here is light. Here is a new beginning. Here is a future. Here is our Savior, the hope for all the world. Jesus is given that remarkable name, Emmanuel. Do you know what it means, Emmanuel? God with us. That the message of Christmas, that God is not remote. Oh, he is all powerful. He's the one who made us. He made the whole universe. He upholds the whole universe in his hand. But this God is now with us. And when he comes to deliver us. He comes to save us. He comes to give us hope. It's a message of love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us, and God is telling us, that he loves you. I want you to get that. You know, God is so powerful that he knows us all. I don't know all of you. I know some of you. I know something about your life, but God knows everything about you. The worst that you've done and the best that you've done. Your background, your future, everything. And he loves you. God loves you. Adam Frank is a theoretical and computational astrophysicist at the University of Rochester, and he believes that we are all inconsequential specks within the incomprehensible vastness of the universe. There you are. If that is true, and he apparently believes it, and many do, there's not much hope there, is there? That I'm an inconsequential speck in the incomprehensible vastness of the universe? I admit that the universe is vast. Scientists can't really grapple with the size of the universe. And so they say, here you are on this tiny little planet called Earth, and you're one of billions of people. You are an inconsequential speck in this vast universe. And if, of course, there is no God, I suppose I can understand their reasoning. How different from the gospel. How different from truth. That God not only made you, God knows you. And most amazing of all, God loves you. We're sometimes amazed that anyone loves us, aren't we? When we're married, we're sometimes amazed that our husband or wife continues to love us. Even human love isn't amazing. But think of God's love, who knows everything about you. He loves you. This is hope. Hope for all the world. Hope for you. Don't fall into the trap of saying this message is for some people, but not you. You're excluded. No, you're not excluded. Doesn't matter where you're from. This is a message of hope for all the world. I realize that our world can be very dark, can be very discouraging, whether we think of it internationally or nationally or locally or even personally. But God's love gives us hope. God's love gives us meaning. God's love gives us an incredible new beginning. God's love is inclusive. It embraces all of us. It extends to all the world. It's also everlasting, because God's love, unlike human love, never ends out. You've had the experience, haven't you, of a human being saying they loved you and then they no longer love you. God's love is not like that. His love is everlasting. And His love is penetrating. It goes down and down to those at the very bottom of society, those who think they are forgotten and may well be forgotten by most people. People who are despairing. God's love is so powerful that it reaches down to them, to people like you and me. You see, God's love is so powerful that not only will it transform your life here, and it will, it's transformed my life. God's love will save your soul. God's love will take you to heaven, to a better place when you die. You say, well, how do I know that God loves me? The proof that God loves you is this. One of the writers of the New Testament says this, that God shows His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And some of you are saying, there you are again, Monroe's always talking about sin. Well, I'm not always talking about sin, but I have to talk about sin, because if you don't understand that you've sinned, you don't need a Savior. And the Savior came because He knows us, and He knows we mess up. You see, I can meet people as I do from Angola, from India and from China and South America and Brazil and Scandinavia. And although our cultures and our language and perhaps the color of our skin is very different, they have the same heart as I have. Made in the image of God but fallen and have messed up. And so to all of us who've messed up, the message comes, the message of the gospel, that there is hope for us and that God has not left us in our darkness, in our hopelessness, but intervenes in our life and sends Jesus Christ as the Savior to deal with your sin and to give you hope, to make you a new person. And this hope is so magnificent, Peter refers to it as a living hope, not a dead hope, not like the hope that the politician gives when he can make a promise or where she can make promises and you know they're not going to deliver. It's just words. No, this is a living hope. Peter says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope." You listening to this? A living hope. Don't you love that? God gives you a living hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, reserved in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is a living hope. And Peter is telling us that this living hope has a beginning. You say, John, how could I have that hope? I'd love to have that hope. You're saying this hope transforms me, it changes me, it gives me a future, it gives me a different perspective, and it will continue beyond this world. It will continue for all of eternity. That's true. How does it begin? Peter tells us. It begins by the new birth. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Jesus said that we must be born again. There is something has to change, and this is a supernatural change. Just not being better educated or getting a better job or being kinder or modifying our behavior in some way. No, this is something supernatural. The very life of God, the life that raised Christ from the dead, his resurrected power. This is the power of God. This is the life of God which comes to us as we receive the living Christ, so that we have a hope which is not dead, which is not temporary, but is a living hope. And it is rooted and it is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, there is no hope. This is why this hope is living, why it's supernatural, because it comes from the risen Christ as we receive him, as we turn from our sin and put our arms, as it were, around Jesus and say, come and save me and cleanse me and indwell me. It is a living hope which has a beginning. Has it begun in your life? I'm asking, have you come to Christ personally? Has there come a time in your life when you've received Christ personally into your heart and your life? It's a living hope. And it is, says Peter, a hope which has a future. He says, he talks about an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you. You see, if you have this living hope, there's a place in heaven reserved for you. I recently traveled and I flew from Charlotte to JFK in New York and waited there then for my flight right into Edinburgh, the capital of Scotland. And as I was waiting there, I realized the accents were changing and I was surrounded by Scottish people. Nice to hear the Scottish accent. Even in JFK. And I saw a number of them lined up at the desk. I was flying Delta, the Delta desk, and I thought, you know, what are they doing there? I mean, I've got my ticket, and are they checking passports, or what's going on? Is there something I don't know? And so as they came, there was a couple of women with their children, and I said to them, what's happening at the desk? And they said, well, we don't have a seat reservation. I said, you don't have a seat reservation? And they said, no, we didn't get one. And we're trying to get one. Do you have one? So I said, well, absolutely. And I thought, I better check. And there, sure enough, it was. You see, on that plane, although I hadn't been on it, I knew there was a seat, as it were, with my name on it. I had paid for it. In fact, it was frequent flyers, but in a sense, I'd paid for it. I am Scottish, but I'd paid for it, one way or another. And it was reserved for me. It had, as it were, my name on, and sure enough, when I went on the plane, I went to 21C, and no one said, you can't sit there. Can I say, not as a matter of pride, not because I'm a pastor, can I say, as Peter would say, in heaven, there's a place reserved for John Monroe. Do you know why that is? Because it has been paid for. Paid for by Jesus Christ. By the blood of Christ. And in God's grace, I called out to Christ to come and save me. And to give me this living hope. A hope, yes, which transforms my life. But a hope which is so strong, which is so alive, it will last for all of eternity. And it is kept, says Peter, by the very power of God himself. Have you ever hoped in something and it failed? You hoped that relationship would turn out and the person let you down. You applied for a job and you really hoped you would get it and you received that letter or didn't receive anything at all, and you realize, my hope is dashed. We all have hopes which are not realized. This hope is always realized because it's guaranteed by God Himself. And I'm asking you tonight, why? Why have you not received Christ and received this living hope? What a wonderful opportunity to hear the words of the angel to you. Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I need a Savior. I need rescued. Who is He? He's Christ the Lord. He's God incarnate. He's the very God who comes into our world to change us, to give us this living hope so that we will not perish. That's John 3:16. That God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We could say, but have this living hope, this hope which will be for all of life and for all of eternity. I'm asking you to receive this living hope, to place your trust in Christ. He's the Son of God, risen from the dead, having died for your sins on the cross, and you must trust Him. You must turn from your sin and open your heart to the Savior. Will you do that? Some of you would like to do that. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Now, saying a prayer doesn't give you this living hope, but if this prayer represents where you are in your own soul and you realize you don't know Christ personally, will you pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I thank You that there is hope for me. Thank You that You love me and that on the cross You died for my sins. At this very moment, I now turn from my sin and I trust You as my Savior. Come and forgive all of my sins. I believe that You're the Son of God risen from the dead and believe that as I receive You into my heart and life, You will give me eternal life as a gift of Your grace. Come, Lord Jesus, save me, cleanse me. Fill my heart with Your love. Fill my heart with Your peace. Fill my heart with Your joy. Replace my fears, my anxieties, my bitterness with this living hope. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled Hope for All the World. John has more to share in just a moment, so keep listening. The Verdict is a ministry of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And as we prepare our hearts and minds for the celebration of Christmas, we want to share with you a special invitation to join us for our annual Candlelight Christmas Eve services, Saturday, December 24, at Calvary Church. Whether you can attend in person or virtually via live stream, we'd love to have you with us for this meaningful night of powerful worship, carols, and candlelight, and a special Christmas message from John. For more details, just go to our church website at calvarychurch.com. Now, here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And you can be a part of this multimedia gospel outreach by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give a tax-deductible year-end donation on our website at theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll also receive John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he offers insight on relevant events and biblical topics each Tuesday. Join him for timely and impactful discussions about Israel, politics, engaging the culture, and more by subscribing to The Verdict Podcast. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? This Christmas season, are you hopeful or hopeless? God, in great love, sent His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to this world to give us hope. This is not wishful thinking, but a supernatural transformation as we receive Jesus as our personal Savior. Place your trust in the Lord Jesus and know this hope that will transform your life, your relationships, and your future. Join me tomorrow as we continue to celebrate our Savior. And remember that Christmas is joy.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.